Welcome to the Gore Girls Podcast.
We're back.
Welcome back to Gore Girls. We had a little bit of a hiatus there. Sorry.
Just a bit. Sorry. Just a tad.
Sorry.
How long was it? Like a month?
Like a month.
Which really means we just missed 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know what time is anymore.
So, you know. Yeah. But we're here.
I don't actually even know who I am.
Right. It gave you time to catch up if you had missed some.
Right.
Yeah, there we go. It was really for your guys' sake.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course.
It wasn't a selfish thing at all.
No.
But we are back, and yeah, we're talking about Poltergeist.
Did I say your
OG.
Name?
And also, I'm Grace.
Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry. Hi, Lorelai. Lorelai. This one is Lorelai.
I'm Grace.
Hey, it's Lane. It's me.
I'm Kayla.
Sorry, I got a little overzealous. I'm very discombobulated right now.
We've never done the podcast before, actually.
This is our first time.
First time. My first radio.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, yeah. We're talking about Poltergeist today. The original, of course, not the really bad 2015 remake or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. Did any of you guys see the remake?
No.
Yes, it was not good. The only redeeming factor it had was that Sam Rockwell was the dad. Because like
that
I
was
loved
literally
it.
It.
But that was literally the only good thing about the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, I never saw
it. Yeah. Be dumb.
Yeah. No, don't. It's, you're not missing anything. Okay.
Nah, this is where it's at. Okay. Yeah, throwing it back. It's directed by Toby Hooper, aka
Good old Tobe.
It's spelled like Tobe, all right? He is Tobe in my mind. Yeah, so we're continuing with our no theme.
Mm-hmm.
I chose this movie because I really love it a lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's nostalgic and it's good, and we haven't covered it yet, so I figured, what the hell? Grace, would you like to tell us about the making of the movie?
I have a lot.
Oh, I can't.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Mm-mm.
And since it's exciting. Been so long since I have read, I apologize if I am out of breath.
You're good.
Okay, so this was in 1982, written by friggin' Tobe Hooper.
Tobe Hooper.
Screenplay by Steven Spielberg, Michael Grace, I kind of think. G-R-A-I-S.
Grace.
And Marcus Victor.
I hate when people have two first names as a name.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway.
The story is by Steve. His name is Steve in my notes. Steve. Michael had done a movie about Jerry Lee Lewis called Great Balls of Fire. He has worked on two movies. I'm not going to say what Steven Spielberg has done.
Why not? He has a really short resume. Come on.
Right. Yeah. It would take the whole fucking episode.
Yeah, literally. He's worked on two movies with Mark, a Steven Seagal movie called Marked for Death, and a Stephen King movie called Sleepwalkers. Also, Poltergeist 2. And then it says same for Mark. So
okay,
Mark had not a lot of Wikipedia. I googled what poltergeist means. It is a spirit or a ghost entity responsible for physical disturbances such as moving objects or destroying property, but it's temporary.
Right.
So Steven, like somehow... It's a little unclear. So Steven somehow met Mark and Michael, and then he just shows them this movie, and then he's like, I want to remake it. And the movie is called A Guy Named Joe. It is labeled as a supernatural romantic drama about a World War II pilot, and his plane goes down, and then he dies. I have no idea what this has to do with Poltergeist, but they're watching this movie, and then he brings up that he wants to do a ghost alien movie with them.
Okay.
Interesting.
Super
weird. Yeah. Huh.
But in the movie, they're watching that movie. They're watching A Guy Named Joe.
Oh, cute.
Is that what they're watching in their bedroom?
When they're getting all stoned?
I made a note of it when they're watching it. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah,
I watched it like a month ago. Also, originally, Stephen wanted Stephen King to write the script, but he was just too busy. So Mark and Michael were just like, the next best thing.
Wait, in 1982, he was too busy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
Was that like prime Stephen King time in 1982? Well, I thought it was afterwards. I mean, what was he doing in 1982?
Popping off.
I don't know. I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, he was writing for sure.
I'm sorry. But...
He definitely was writing, but I don't know. I feel like he's been writing for like 40 fucking years, so he's just always been perpetually busy. So
yeah, sure. He was busy watching his son dig up his old cat.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yep, right.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of family issues.
It's true.
Tobe didn't like the sci-fi element of the movie originally, so he wanted it to be more ghost-based. However, it's still pretty sci-fi. Let's get into some drama of the movie.
There's so much.
There's so much. Stephen was going to direct this, but he couldn't direct at the same time that he was directing E.T., which they came out a week of each other.
Oh, wow.
So there was like a little bit of beef between Tobe.
Not the biff.
A lot of beef. Between Tobe, Stephen, and I put the Hollywood people.
Okay.
On whether or not Tobe actually directed this movie, they thought that maybe they just put his name on there so Stephen wouldn't get in trouble. There have been a few lawsuits after the movie was released.
Yikes.
And then Steve wrote this letter to Tobe in the Hollywood Reporter. Regrettably, some of the press has misunderstood the rather unique creative relationship in which you and I share throughout the making of Poltergeist. I enjoy your openness in allowing me to be a writer and a producer, a wide berth of creative involvement, just as I know you were happy with the freedom you had to direct Poltergeist so wonderfully. Though the screenplay you accepted is a vision of this very intense movie from the start, and as the director, you delivered the goods. You performed responsibly and professionally throughout, and I wish you great success on your next project. However, the actress that plays Tangina, said in a 2000 interview that Tobe allowed unacceptable chemical agents into her work.
What?
I don't know what that means, but she seems like a problem.
Is this the little one?
The little one.
Okay.
She seems like a problem. I just get problem vibes. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Maybe he allowed unacceptable chemical agents. Was he drunk?
What, like the goo, perhaps?
I think it means like he was drunk or high. He allowed that to take over.
Some recreational activities.
Drugs.
My mind went to the mist, the fog.
Oh.
I don't know.
They were just hotboxing.
Right. So you're thinking maybe she's implying that they were all high and that he didn't really do his job. And that Steven's just, like, covering for him. Kind of interesting.
There's more beef.
Yeah,
beef.
Let's hear it.
Where's the beef?
In a 30th anniversary cast interview in 2012, everyone said that Tobe had a really hard time on set working under Steve, and he did his best with what he had to work with, and that Steve didn't really give him the creative freedom because he was there every single day of filming, which normally producers do not do.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But then in a podcast interview, Mark said that this is very much a Tobe movie, and that he had all the creative freedom that he needed, and that Steve was just very enthusiastic. And my next bullet point says, who the fuck knows?
Interesting. Who the fuck knows?
Well, and I don't know. It's Steven Spielberg, right? Like,
right.
He's Steven Spielberg for a reason. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he was a little pushy, maybe? Or,
I could like, definitely just thought that,
that maybe he knew better, or, like, his ideas were right, and Toby's weren't. Because
this doesn't, to me, feel like a Tobe movie.
No. This is giving Steven Spielberg.
It's very Steven Spielberg.
100%.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Which is okay. And
he was just using Toby as this, like, I'm not directing. He's directing. Right. I'm just supportive. But yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
No.
Yeah.
So Steve got the idea for this movie from another project that went unfinished called Night Skies, which was supposed to be a sequel to Close Encounter of the Third Kind. He used elements from that movie in Poltergeist, E.T., and Gremlins. In this story, an extraterrestrial scientist tries to communicate with chickens, cows, and other livestock in an attempt to discover which of Earth's animals are sentient before turning into unwelcome attentions to a family and dissects all the farm animals.
No.
This movie ended up not happening.
Why didn't that get made?
No. No.
What do you mean? I really want to see that.
We're missing out on so much.
Yeah.
So much.
You know, at first when you said that they, you know, were trying to communicate to the farm animals, I was in it. Because, like, same.
Like, are you just, like, mooing at them? Like, I don't understand.
Right. Like, what are we?
That sounds like a stoner comedy. Mm-hmm. You know? Like,
right. Oh, yeah. That would be good.
It could work in that sense, but I have a feeling that's probably not what he was going for.
Right. He was going for a serious, like, Close Encounters.
But, oh, interesting.
That's funny.
It's very thought-provoking.
Very
compelling.
Apparently, this story is similar to a real-life story that happened in 1958 in New York to the Herman family. This family was noticing weird things moving, jars opening, doors opening, heavier things started to move in their house. Then a doctor came to investigate, and he blamed teenage hormonal activity.
Oh.
What is this family?
The Herman family.
Mm. Okay. Why is it always hormones?
Why does the name of the family matter?
Scared to Death has an episode about them, I think. About that family. I'm pretty confident I listened to it.
Yeah.
I think it's called, oh no, this is the Lemp family. But there's also another one about a poltergeist, who's to say, but I'm pretty confident that they talked about it, and it was interesting.
Oh.
Interesting. Obviously, a lot of things were changed in this, but it was loosely based on their sort of family. I also just want to talk about the curse of this set. Yeah. However, my thought on this is it's fucking reaching.
Yeah.
I think just a lot of unfortunate things happened.
Yeah.
Just some people that were there, all unrelated, have scientific proof as to why they died.
Right. But
Right.
The actress that plays Carol Ann, hers is the saddest. Because then she's so fucking little and cute. And
she's so cute.
I mean, yeah, it's really fucking sad. But...
Yes. Her name is Heather O'Rourke. She died when she was 12 of a medical misdiagnosis. Dominique Dunn, who played Diana Freeling, she died in 1982 from her boyfriend strangling her. He was sentenced to 6 years and only served 4.
Oh, neat.
What?
Yes.
Very cool.
Cool.
Just a slap on the wrist, huh?
What the fuck? You murdered someone and you only served 4 years? What?
I mean, not that it matters how old she was, but...
Right, but still, she was only, 22?
21, 22?
Yeah, I think 21, something like that, yeah.
Jesus.
She broke up with him, and I guess he was terribly abusive their entire relationship, even when she was on set of the movie and stuff, and then there's, like, all this, police record of him being rude and awful and abusive, and then he struggled her, and then he got freaking 4 years, so.
Wow. Neat.
Wow. This is sad, but it just says 2 other cast members died of medical issues. It doesn't say who. One died of stomach cancer and another of a heart after a heart and a lung transplant.
Oh. R.I.P.
I don't know. Yeah. I should have asked if anybody has this. So I'm very sorry if someone does, but this has to do with how things are cursed and they think that this is why the set was cursed or whatever. Uh-huh. Apparently some of the skeletons in the movie are real humans and it was cheap because it's cheaper.
Yeah. Which that doesn't make any sense to me.
I have questions about that. Like, how is it cheaper? And did they get said skeletons?
I don't know if that's kind of to make this movie seem creepier, and it never, if that's not true.
Well, like, if it's ever been proven real.
I heard that, and I thought it was always, like, an urban legend, and I could have sworn, I watched a documentary, I think on Shudder, like, a few years ago, and they were like, that's not true. But then, when I was doing my research, according to Snopes, right, is that what it's fucking called?
Yeah.
Yeah, fact checker, they said it's true.
Who knows? There's, like, so much. I watched that same episode, I think, and then, I don't know if...
It's maybe a good episode.
There's one about the Wizard of Oz, too. I'm mixing them up, I think, because one of them was like, stop saying that it's a curse. Like, you're just dishonoring these people's memories that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not,
this movie.
Not a curse. It just happened. No. It so happens that, like, you know, you worked on a scary movie and then people died, but, like, everybody dies.
Right.
And these are not, like, related things. These all are, like, totally different.
And it's not like it happened on set, you know, or
like something
like
fell
that.
On them on set. And
Yeah.
Where do we stand with the skeletons?
I was gonna say, can you like donate your body to like movies?
Probably.
Well, you can donate it to science, and so like I don't know if you can like.
I would assume that's where they got them. Was if it's true that from like a university,
or something,
like a medical center or something. But those all look like nasty, so I feel like they would have had to make them up, and like that just seems wrong. So I really hope it's not real people.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I also read in relation to that that they didn't tell the actress that plays Diane, the mom, that they were actual real skeletons until after that scene was shot. Yeah. And so, like, if that's also true, like, that's fucking disgusting and that's horrible.
Yeah, I actually...
Like, did you have that, Lorelai? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I had a quote from her that I wanted to share with you guys, so I'll just bring it up now.
Okay.
She said, you have to understand that the sequence took probably 4 or 5 days to shoot, so I was in the mud and goop all day, every day, for, like, 4 or 5 hours, with skeletons all around me, screaming. In my innocence and naivety, I assumed that these were not real skeletons. I assumed that they were prop skeletons made out of plastic or rubber. I found out, as did the whole crew, that they were using real skeletons because it's far too expensive to make fake ones out of rubber. And I think everybody got real creeped out by the idea of that.
Oh my God.
That's a direct quote.
God.
Yeah, 5 days just murking around in the mud.
Well, and that shit was in her mouth.
Yeah, like, I mean, my God.
In her hair. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's upsetting to me.
All I have now is what I think is crazy, but it was nominated for 3 Academy Awards. It's named the 20th scariest movie ever by a Chicago Film Critic Association. There Here is on the list for AFI's 100 Years, 100 Greatest Movie Quotes. Also the Spice Girls do a little thing for it in their music video, Too Much.
That's super fucking random.
That is very fucking random.
The Spice Girls.
Speaking of Spice Girls, this is totally off topic, but did you know that 2 of them had like a thing?
Fucking 40 Spice and Ginger Spice?
Ginger Spice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I learned that on the TikTok the other day.
Me too, when I saw them kissing.
They were a thing. Mm-hmm.
No way. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Crazy.
You guys want to know a fun fact? This is not about the Spice Girls. When I was really into AFI, I saw a thing that was like the AFI Awards, and me and my friend were like, what? And then we watched it. Oh, this is stupid.
No, that's hilarious.
That's great.
Love that.
Those are all my notes. I have a lot.
Nice.
No, that was great. Yeah, we had some good combos to start this off. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very
good
cool.
Good shit.
Thanks, Grace.
Yeah, man.
Yes. Thank you. Nicely done. Do we have a pun, Elaine?
Yes.
She said okay, it was so good. She's so excited.
I think it's good. I hope I'm not hyping it up too much. Okay. What do you call a poltergeist that nuts a lot?
That nuts a lot?
Yeah.
Oh.
Come again?
Come again? I don't know.
I don't know.
A ghostbuster?
A ghostbuster.
Oh.
Yes.
That's great. That's fucking good. Where did you find that one?
I found it on the same website. I find all my puns. I was just like a spectacularly good one.
That's amazing. I feel like our dad really appreciate that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Ghostbuster.
Neat.
Very nice.
I like that they said nuts a lot.
Nuts a lot.
Sir nuts a lot.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna think that every time I see Ghostbuster now. Like, say it, read it, whatever. It gives a whole other meaning.
My cheeks hurt.
That's amazing.
I love it.
What?
Oh. Joey's just overhearing and he's like,
did he hear the joke? Tell
me. Did you hear the joke?
Do you want to hear the joke?
Yeah.
What do you call a poltergeist that nuts a lot? Ghostbuster. But he said, "Bust makes me feel good." Yeah. What is it from?
Oh, it is feel good.
Oh my god! You know the Ghostbusters song.
Uh huh.
There's a part in it where he's like, "Busted makes me feel good."
That's
what he says.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it like that.
No.
I've always thought about it that way.
That I use often.
Oh.
It has always sounded kind of funny to me, but I know that that's not what he was saying. But right, so now it all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's so cool. Oh, that's terrible. Grace is having
like,
a blast.
Neat.
She's great. So glad she's here.
Do we have a trivia question, Grace?
What scene in The Descent 2005 was edited for theatrical release in North America? The opening.
Yeah.
Or the ending. Oh, man, excuse me.
Sam, have you ever seen Jeopardy? You have to wait until the question's over.
That's my answer.
Sorry, what is the end?
Yeah, yes, God, Kayla, it is. Yeah, when fucking Juno's face, her dad.
Yeah, just like, you know, hops up in the car. And
I hated that.
Yeah. And she gets out and
stupid.
No.
Yeah, if you haven't watched this movie, go watch it so you don't get any spoilers. You might have already gotten some. I don't know. Like we always preface, this movie was very hard to summarize.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
I did my best. We'll see how this goes.
I'm sure it's great.
Okay. A family's world gets turned upside down when a poltergeist steals the daughter and the family has to rescue her from the spiritual plane.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah?
Yeah. Very well summed up.
She got kidnapped by the ghosts.
She got napped.
Ghost napped.
Okay, so the Freeling family is asleep when the youngest, Carol Ann, wakes up and begins talking to the TV. The family wakes up confused as to what she is doing. The next morning, the family goes about a normal Sunday, football game on, cleaning up, and then Diane, the mom, finds Carol Ann's pet bird dead, and they bury it in the backyard.
Let me start this off really fast.
Okay.
It has been some time since I've seen this, similar to, like, a lot of other movies.
Uh-huh.
Most importantly, The Omen. And you forget how much can be cut out. There's no need for this movie to be 2 fucking hours long.
Yeah,
so much nothing is happening,
you know. Yeah. For me, it doesn't feel like it's dragging, like I even agree. Though it's 2 hours,
it could be a 30 minute movie
for me. Like, so? I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have like problems build. With the length. Yeah.
Oh, I don't have a problem with length.
I've heard that before.
I like these first couple, like, intro scenes, because, like, it's so picture perfect, normal. They're just living in suburbia. They got the football game on, and that's like their biggest issue is fighting with the neighbor.
The TV.
You know?
Yeah. No, not this. This part doesn't need to be cut out. It's just, this is my general opinion of this movie.
Okay.
Just because there's lots of scenes that aren't necessarily pertinent to the plot.
No. Right. There's lots of scenes where they're not even saying anything. They're just like looking at shit. Like,
I know what she's saying. I love this movie, but I do understand where you're coming from, Grace.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going back to The Omen. I fucking love that movie. A lot of it could be cut out. A lot of it could be cut out.
Right.
For me, I really like it a lot. It could be cut out though.
I love the opening. I said that I liked the national anthem being like the opening song because it's just like an American tale.
Picture perfect. And
right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The American dream.
And it's just like, it could fucking happen to anybody. Uh-huh. Right? You're just like living your damn life.
And it all starts with the TV. So I love that it, like,
TV and the dog is looking for a snack.
Wait, he's so cute.
Why the fuck is his name E-Buzz?
E-Buzz. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that, and I was like, I should Google it, and I never did.
It makes me wonder if that's actually the dog's name. Because, like, how do you come up with
that?
You know?
Why would you ever name like, how do you?
I don't know. But that's the only thing I could think of is, like, because a lot of times...
Is it Electric Buzz like a TV?
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, wait, I think I found it. It says... Any old farts out there like me will remember this to be a reference to the original SNL and Dan Aykroyd's character E-Buzz Miller. Spielberg was his fan and friend.
Oh, okay.
E-Buzz. Okay, that makes sense then.
Well,
all right. We'll allow it.
My first note is fuzzy TVs just aren't a thing anymore, you know?
Nope.
I know.
You just can't make a movie with a fuzzy TV anymore.
You just cannot.
I said I would have turned that TV off immediately. As soon as it started flashing like that.
I said turn a warning for epilepsy.
Epileptic. Uh-huh.
For real. Yeah.
God damn, like that. The flashing is a little bit crazy.
It's extreme.
Talk about that later on in the scene when they're all in the bedroom.
Yes.
Because it's so intense. I'm like, how does that not wake you up? The fuck?
No.
And I fall asleep with the TV on. But that shit, no.
But
I would not.
No.
No. Mm-mm. I remember, having sleepovers at my friend's house, and then their TV would be on like that or something, and I would just wake up like,
stimulated and
fucking love it though, because it made me so afraid of the TV.
Yeah,
when I was a child, I was so afraid of when I went to static.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's been used in a lot of movies, a lot of horror movies, like the staticky TV.
I just love little Carol Ann. She's so. She's so
little. Reminds me of you when you were little.
Reminds me of me?
Oh, yeah. When you were little?
Oh. Totally. I was cute like that. Yeah. I thought I was a gremlin.
I love how she takes one stare at a time.
She's so precious.
She's so tiny.
Her little hands on the TV, they're so small.
I just want to pick her up.
If I woke up and my child was talking to the TV, answering questions.
Mm-mm. What do you look like?
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
No. No, no.
Goodbye.
We're moving immediately. Or throwing away the TV. I don't know. Getting a new TV.
Right. Yeah, doing something. I love Craig T. Nelson so much.
Yeah.
Me too. He's the dad.
The dad.
What's his name? Steve? I wrote Steven, it like 10 times. Steven.
Interesting. His name is Steven.
Oh.
Well, narcissistic moment.
I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either.
At least they didn't name the dog Tobe.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't because you couldn't. They wouldn't be able to say his name.
Tobe.
And then my next note is our pets' heads are falling off.
Dude, why? Why the fuck does she try to flush the bird?
Who flushes the goddamn bird?
You're flushing the fucking bird?
No.
It's a bird.
A bird.
Like, close the door at the very least. You don't think your child's going to walk in on you? Anytime you enter a bathroom, your kid is there.
Right.
Like,
yeah. And then she says, why couldn't you do this on a school day?
I thought that was so fucking funny.
I think that's funny.
Let me tell you, one time my hamster died while I was at my dad's house and my mom tried to replace it. Mm. It didn't work.
You're like, oh, the birdie just flew away. Sorry.
Right, yeah.
In the toilet.
Yeah. Like, don't flush it. Can we talk about Robbie for a second?
The bucktooth bitch? Is that what you're talking about? I cannot.
That's what I'm talking about.
I can't. Robbie the kid. Robbie.
Oh. There's a side profile of him. It's so bad. Yeah.
It's back by the TV.
Yes.
And I just, he's, oh, fuck. His voice and his whiny fucking screeching. I fucking cannot with him.
He's so annoying.
Yeah.
I feel bad because he's just like a little kid, but I'm like, fuck. He's so annoying. Yeah.
Drives me absolutely insane.
I did think that this movie is just birth control for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. For so many different reasons, right?
Yeah.
I love the dude on the bike trying to fucking hold all the beer.
And then
it just starts spraying. And he carries it inside the living room and it's still just spraying.
Right.
It's spraying, just spraying everywhere.
And none of the guys even care. They're just like, get the fuck out of the way. We're trying to watch this game.
So funny.
What a time to have to, like, if your TVs were too close to your neighbor, your remotes would, like,
right.
I'm
so glad we've evolved.
We've evolved so much.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I do love that scene though. It's just the battle of the clicking.
Me too. It's funny.
It's great.
Do you guys want to know the budget of this movie?
It
was $10.7 million is what I saw.
Wow. Did $9 million of it go to Steven Spielberg?
Probably. Do you want to know what it made?
Yeah.
$121.7 million.
Damn!
Holy shit. That
did very well.
Wow. Is that like the date or?
I'm not sure. I always do box office.
Okay.
Cool. Wow. Okay. Nice. Well done.
Well done, Tobe.
Yeah, that's good job, Tobe.
Way to go, Tobe.
Sure, it had nothing to do with Steven Spielberg's name on the movie at all.
Right. Not at all.
And I saw that the house where the movie was filmed is located in Simi Valley, California. Okay. And the family who owned the home sold it in 2009, and the current estimated market value on Zillow is only $1.1 million, about. Which is actually kind of shocking to me.
Yeah.
I looked it up on the Zillow, and that's how much it said.
Interesting. Huh. Okay.
I thought that was interesting. Shocking. That it wasn't more.
Shocking.
I also read that it was shot like 10 minutes away from where they were shooting E.T. Like, it was like right in the same area.
It looks like
that. That makes so much sense.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like the exact same neighborhood. He probably did
that so he could be there every day and also E.T. every day.
Okay, right. You guys, if you could only pick to watch this movie or E.T., what would you pick?
This
forever. You'd pick this, I'd pick E.T. for sure.
I love E.T.
I love E.T.
But this, I love this movie. It's so nostalgic. Yeah, I pick this movie. Like a comfort movie.
And E.T.
Yeah. Yeah, E.T. just breaks my fucking heart.
Yeah.
But he gets home. He's safe. Spoiler alert.
He does get home. Yeah.
It's just really sad until then.
But it is so great.
I didn't know until doing the research for this that they were shot like at the same time. Like, I never knew that. And it makes so much sense because every single time I've watched this movie, it's always reminded me of E.T. Like, the scenery and everything. So that, that tracks.
Yeah. Nice.
Have anything else?
My only thing was when they're burying the bird.
Oh,
I really love how she puts all the little things in the little box.
For
when he's lonely. Oh my god.
Oh, when he's cold. And for
so cute. Her tone is so cute.
Her little voice.
Little voice.
Precious.
She's too cute.
Yeah, rest in peace. That was really, it's very like terrible.
It's so sad. It's so sad.
Yeah.
And I know that people kind of like made fun of her or something in the third one because whatever medication she was on made her like swell up and puffy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people gave her a hard time and she was a baby.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah, humans suck.
Suck.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty terrible.
Yeah. Yes.
I do love after they bury the bird, though, she goes, can I have a goldfish now? Can I have a goldfish?
So accurate, I feel, for small children. Yeah.
Yep. She's over
they move right the fuck on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hi. Are we ready?
Yep.
Yeah. So Diane tucks the kids into bed, and the parents have their after-kids-go-to-bed chill time. Robbie gets scared by the storm rolling in, so Steve puts him back to bed. Both kiddos end up... I say bed 10 fucking times. I'm sorry. Both kiddos end up in bed with the parents. The TV goes off air, and there's whispering in the static. Carol Ann wakes up and engages with the TV again. Then spectral hands reach out from the screen and smash into the wall. The family wakes up thinking there is an earthquake. The next day, Steve calls around to ask about the earthquake, but no one else experienced it. Everyone leaves for school and work, except Carol Ann and Diane. Diane is cleaning, and the kitchen chairs start moving on their own. Carol Ann tells her it's the TV people. Steve gets home from work, and Diane shows him this phenomenon going on with the chairs, and he's freaked out.
This is when they're watching the movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, this guy is named Joe. Yeah.
This is that's awesome.
Yeah. That makes sense. Really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Robbie drives me nuts, right? He's annoying and whiny, but I'd be scared of that fucking tree too if I was him. That is an ugly, creepy tree. Like,
I have a question. In this new development,
right?
They ain't got no HOA,
right?
Who is allowing that tree to stay?
Yeah, no HOA would allow that tree.
No, it's dead. It's a dead fucking tree. It's like springtime. There are flowers, there's green grass, and that tree is just horrendous. Dead
as a doornail.
Yeah.
And scary.
Oh, oldest-y and awful.
Oh, it's so awful. It's so creepy.
It kind of looks like the tree called in Harry Potter? The Whomping...
The Whomping Willow. The
Whomping Willow. Yep. Kind of looks like
with
that.
With all its knobs
it
and
does.
Stuff.
It does.
Yep.
Not the knobs.
Not the knobs! I also noticed among all the like Star Wars stuff that he has in his room, which is super awesome, but there's an alien poster on his wall.
Oh, nice.
Hell which is a direct nod to the composer, Jerry Goldsmith,
because
he also did Alien. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Love that. How cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Like that.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love a
I
good
love
reference.
The little Easter eggs, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, you guys, so I used to watch Dawson's Creek, you know, with Mackenzie, and in the show, Dawson is, like, wanting to be, like, a director and, like, a filmmaker, and he loves Steven Spielberg. I don't know why I said Spielberg. like that.
Spielberg.
But there's always, like, posters everywhere of, like, Steven Spielberg movies and just, like, movie references and stuff and quotes all the time, and I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love stuff
just
like that.
I love it.
Blew my mind because I've never watched that show.
Uh-huh.
I fully believed that Dawson was the name of a creek.
Mm. I'm gonna say 100% same.
Nope. Dawson's like the main character.
I thought it was like the creek they all lived
by
or something.
In the town.
Yeah, no, the town. I don't even remember what the town is called.
Interesting.
But no, Katie Holmes lives across the pond. And she boats on over to Dawson's house.
Oh,
is his name last name Creek?
No, his last name is Leary.
She uses the Creek to get to Dawson.
Yeah. So it's Dawson's.
Honestly, I never really understood the Creek part because they live by like a bay. They're in like the Northeast.
Should we call it Dawson's Bay?
Dawson's Creek sounds better than Dawson's Bay.
So. I have a question. How many times do you think we have referenced or talked about Dawson's Creek on this? On this?
A lot, actually.
A shocking amount.
A
shocking amount. For only one out of four of us have seen it.
Yeah. Which is honestly why it's so funny that I didn't fucking know that.
I didn't know that either. I literally thought it was a creek in the...
I thought that too before I watched it.
Oh my God.
I missed the whole tree conversation. But I just want to add that the curtains should just be closed.
Close the damn curtains.
Yeah.
Close the curtains. If you can't cut down the tree, close the curtains. Because, God,
why are they open
it's
at
so
night?
Ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no.
I never have my curtains open at night.
Never.
Mm-mm. No.
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 Don't want peepers. We'll have ours open, like, a little bit, because we always have our window open for a breeze.
Oh,
but we're also on the second floor, so, like, meh.
Right.
Right.
Meh.
Yeah.
And, like, we don't have anyone that can see us, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't have an ominous tree.
I don't have an ominous tree, no.
That knows you live there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But no.
Knows I live here.
It knows I live here.
That was good.
I just want to punch him in the face. Mm-hmm.
Also, what are the parents doing in their bed?
They're smoking.
And then they're doing push-ups. And then they're reading. Like, they're just like...
weed has never had that effect on me, ever.
Activities in the bed.
I love it. Activities. Yeah.
I think it's cute, but it's just like a funny...
The whole time.
I love their relationship, their chemistry, the whole family. Yes. And they're all involved. The dad's not gone at work for fucking a month.
Right.
Like,
right.
I do love the whole family.
The dynamic. Chemistry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, it is great. Yep. I love it. I love, too... like the catastrophizing that the mom starts to go through. She's like talking about the sleepwalking, and then she's like, oh shit, the pool, like, oh my god, what if they dig it and there's no water, and her mind just starts spiraling. Mm-hmm. And it's just like such a real conversation that unfolds, because I've 100% had conversations like that with Zach about it, you know what I mean? Like, so real. I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then like later, and she's like, the pool.
Yeah.
That's an amazing like callback. Like, that's how you fucking do
it. Right, exactly.
That's how you do it.
Brief mention.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We love a good foreshadow.
We do.
I love that's that, just, like,
subtle.
I love that they're having their little, you know, chill time together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Robbie's just standing in the fucking doorway, because I feel like that's also very accurate for kids.
Mm-hmm. I threw up.
He's like, you don't. I threw up. Because, like, you don't want to interrupt. You know they're going to be like, why are you awake?
Yeah.
But, yeah. But they're so good about it, too. And he's just like, climb up, pal. And I don't know. He's just so good.
Yes.
I love him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So cute.
Why do they have that clown?
Have that clown?
What is its purpose?
There's one child in the world that likes that clown.
It's in the middle of the room.
A fun fact about the clown?
Mm-hmm. Sure, please.
It is currently on display in Caesar's Palace in Vegas.
Why?
That's super bizarre.
I don't know.
Why Caesar's Palace?
I don't know.
Like, wouldn't it be better in Planet Hollywood?
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Like, what? It's super weird.
Or, like, not there?
Or nowhere at all? Burned?
Is he? Perhaps? I want to know, is he just, like, alone? Or is it, like
in the
it's just played?
Is there a museum in Caesar's Palace?
Okay, but let's
truly,
see.
Like, why would you put a... Why do you have it? Why is it in a chair at the end of this kid's bed?
Just watching
him.
Like, there's, like, nothing else in the room but that.
Yeah.
It looks like it's in, like, a glass container in a restaurant.
That's so fucking weird.
Is it in a Hard Rock Cafe? Like, I don't understand.
Right? Like, what's happening? That's
but also,
really
this
weird.
Is saying Hollywood Horror Museum, the original used clown from...
Oh.
But that makes more sense. I don't know. It makes more sense. But I did
maybe think that museum is attached to Caesar's Palace or something?
Perhaps.
Oh, maybe.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. So don't quote me, I guess. I just read things on the internet and say it's true.
Yeah. It's all true.
As you do.
Did anyone note how oddly the house is laid out? Like. Yeah. Their bedroom, there's like a couple stairs down from their room into this hallway, and then there's bedrooms. And then you just have this giant-ass staircase that's just floating there.
It just
like in the middle out of nowhere.
Very
out
weird.
Out of nowhere. It doesn't match. A very strange house.
It doesn't match the outside.
No, not at all.
No.
It's so strange.
The staircase fucking drives me insane.
Like, what?
Yeah, I love a floating staircase, but it needs to make sense.
It needs to make sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much like wasted space because of the way the staircase is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
very in the way,
and it kind of just like
It's not like it. It's not like it curves. It's not like they're natural curves, right? It's like very rigid. Like, I don't know.
I don't get
not
it.
Great.
Yep. No.
Not great.
Mm-mm.
I love the cut to when the kids are in the bed with them, because that's just so accurate. Like, oh, let's go back to bed. Don't worry about the storm. Cut to, they're both in the bed.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
And I don't know how they're sleeping through the television like that.
That is the most insane, like, strobing.
Oh my god.
Insane.
Yeah. Insane strobing.
Sounds dirty.
It does.
The whispering, though, in the, mixed Dude. In with the static. Oh, so good. It's so spooky. Mm-hmm.
Spooky.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. They're here.
I like the Casper hand.
Yes, Casper. It's like the uncles.
Yes. It's so funny that you say Casper because they're here always reminds me of, did you guys ever watch that Casper movie with Hilary Duff?
I loved that one.
A tiny tot.
Yep. Oh my god.
Do you remember the baseball scene at the beginning?
God.
And they're like, one of the kids says they're here. And
I haven't thought about that in years.
Mm-hmm. I've always, correlated the two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, love that movie.
And then they're here, and then cut to the morning. Like, I want to know what happened after that. We would have been gone already. We would be
having some conversations.
Like, who's here? What?
Right, morning? You're waiting till morning? Breakfast?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have been able to sleep after that.
Absolutely not. Well,
let's get in the car. Get the fuck out of here.
It's just one of those, like, movie unrealistic conversation things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Unrealistic conversation things. Yes.
That's a technical term used in Hollywood by the Hollywood people.
Yes.
Hollywood people.
Hollywood people. And then, like, be the dad calling around and hear that no one else experienced an earthquake. How would you even...
Like, what do you do? How would you feel? Like,
I'd be so confused. I'd be like, did we all just... dream the same dream? Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
What?
I love the chaos of the morning with the kids at the breakfast table, and then he's on the phone and trying to get ready for work, and then the glass breaks. Like, all this shit happens that they don't even notice it because of just the general chaos of the morning. Yeah. It's nice. I like it.
Yep. But it's
the silverware.
Yes. It's real, though, because it's not the dad is a dick. He's absent-minded. Right. Again, like we've seen so many other movies.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just one of those things where he's just like running late but still present.
Can one of you tell me how old Dana is supposed to be?
16.
I think like 16.
The men are hitting on her.
At least she's 16.
But still,
I mean, it's not okay. Okay, I thought she was like 13.
Yeah,
16. Actually, I read this thing, I think it was on Reddit, someone was talking about how they were always so confused watching the movie, because at one point, I think it's when Steve is, like, naming off all the people in the house to the psychologist, but he says, my daughter, Dana, she's 16, my wife, Diane, she's 32, and the reader was always like, so what?
That would have made her 16.
16. So apparently, it's implied throughout the movie that Dana is Steve's daughter from like a different relationship.
Oh.
And that's why he says, my daughter, Dana. Yeah. So that was a little
background. That makes sense because that math has never mathed for me.
Yeah.
I just thought she was a really young mom.
Right. And so she totally could have been, but apparently, it was supposed to be implied that she was her stepdaughter.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
Another part that I love right here is when Carol Ann turns the TV to static and sits like right in front of it, and her mom is like, oh, you'll ruin your eyes, and then switches it, but it's like a fucking war movie and people are dying right in front of her.
And doesn't like her back. Yeah.
Right. I think it's fucking funny. Yeah.
So funny. And then E-Buzz playing with a wall.
Oh my god, yeah.
I'd be out. We're gone.
Nope.
No.
Animals start acting funny. Nah.
Not
that's a good sign.
Red flag there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeti barked in the middle of the night the other day and he never does that, and I was up for hours. I was like, oh my god.
You know what I fucking hate? And cats do this a lot when they just like stare at a corner of the room. I'm like, what is going on in here? Stuart does that all the time. It drives me nuts.
Voodoo used to do this thing. He hasn't done it at this apartment, or I think the last one, but in my Fort Collins apartment, he would just get up on his hind legs and he would just like reach kind of like what E-Buzz does. And he would just reach. Add no. Nothing. And I'm like,
no.
What you doing? What's up?
There was shit in that apartment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weird.
There was weird shit. No, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm. Not a fan.
I love the whole chair thing. I love how they build it up, right? Because as soon as they leave the breakfast table, she's like, oh my God, you guys in these chairs. And then they're pulled out again. And she's like, did you do this? She's like, no. And she puts them back. She bends down and then they're all fucking, oh my God. Ooh. Her reaction is so perfect because,
I would shit my pants.
Oh. I would be pooping.
No.
I'd
be pooping.
And how she's like teary-eyed because she's just like,
Shock.
What? Yep.
Yeah.
And Carolyn's like,
Which, I mean, at least she can't see him. And if she had said, you know what I mean? I would have been like, oh.
Right. But I love that she asks if her mom can see him too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And her mom's like,
And the mom's like, TV people? I like that she said that they just say, call them the TV people.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oof.
Really quick, before this, there's like that construction worker who's like in the window.
Oh my God.
Bluto is his
Bluto.
Name?
Oh
my God.
What?
Is Bluto the name of a dog in a cartoon?
There's Pluto. There's
Bluto.
No, not Pluto.
It sounds like Ludo.
Is that what I was thinking of?
I don't think I was thinking of Pluto.
From Labyrinth?
No. I'm imagining like a gray dog.
Balto?
Maybe I was thinking of Balto. Never mind. I love that. Disregard.
Never seen it.
I did read a fact. I don't know if this is a true fact. Does anybody have this? About the man in the window?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is he a bad man?
No, but he was another man that died, unfortunately.
Shit. Is he one of the men that they...
No, not one of those men.
Oh.
And again, I've read this on, I think on IMDb, and I didn't look into it further, so I don't know how accurate it is, or if it's true, but apparently, he was legitimately axe murdered in, like, 2002 or something. Like,
oh, I've read about that, too!
Oh, shit.
Like, murdered brutally.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Yeah. And he was, like, old.
Yeah, he was, like, 67, I think I read.
Who axe murders an old person? Or, right? I mean, any person.
Or but, anybody.
Like, especially an old person. Like, the first
coral dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's true. But that's what I read.
Sad.
Yep.
Before this, with the "they're here" line, I don't know why I didn't think about it then. I don't know why that's, like, on the list of creepiest things.
No?
And it could just be, like, the time, I guess. Mm-hmm. But there are so much other creepier things. Like, I don't know. Even just like, can you see them? Like that's creepy. I don't know.
It's quotable.
Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah.
But there definitely are like creepier parts in this movie for sure.
Yeah.
Like, that part doesn't creep me out the way other things do. So, yeah. I don't know.
There he is.
Yeah, it's probably because it's quotable. I bet you're right.
This scene where Steve is giving the tour, this is one of the scenes where I'm like, why is this here?
This is
why do we need to see this?
Why is
There's
this
so
here?
Much of this movie that isn't important.
Yeah.
is my note.
That whole thing could have been cut out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Initially, I hadn't seen this in a while, and initially I was like, oh great, they moved.
That's what I thought too. Because I hadn't seen it in so long.
Yeah, same. And then
I didn't realize they moved so fast.
Yeah. Right.
I do love when he gets home though, and Diane's really excited.
Right.
She's so excited.
She's like, when you used to have an open mind, like go back to that.
Reach back into our past. You used to have an open mind.
So funny.
I would be him in this situation.
Oh.
Scared as
I would not be excited.
Mm-hmm. No. Especially when Carol Ann gets dragged out. You're joking me right now.
Diane, what are you doing?
Right, like
Diane. No.
Because the chair, you could probably try to explain, right? Like, okay, you know, maybe there's a tilt to this or whatever, right? But yeah, when then they pull Carol Ann, I'd be like, oh, okay, so we're getting the fuck out of here.
Uh-huh. And he's just like,
right now,
in shock, like, what the
And fuck? She's like, honey, try it. And he's like, No.
There's just like a lot of funny elements to this, though.
Yes.
I appreciate. And I think that this
is.
But realistically, no.
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 Hard no.
Nothing's
right, but like with the helmet, and then when like he comes yes, up, and of she's course, like, "Mommy, that burned my butt," and she's like, "Oh, yeah, wax down," and
and he's like walking like around it, and he kind of like takes a step back from the circle, like,
Yeah, no, it's really cute. There's just Grace, you said it, that they just have great chemistry. Everyone does.
Yes.
It, you know, Steve, Diane, and Carol Ann do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robbie and Dana are like
really in it.
Robbie's Dana especially is like.
So it makes sense that she's not here, Diane's daughter then.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Right.
That's why she's a little disconnected, and she's the teenager, so she's like
absent anyways.
Yeah, not dealing with any of this shit.
But then when she is there, she's dramatic as all get out.
Yeah, I have notes about that later.
Yeah. Such a weird cut to the neighbors.
I hate this part.
Just a weird.
It is a weird. It's like they like spliced the scene like
incorrectly.
Incorrectly, because it does just suddenly cut like in the middle of them almost knocking on the door. It's weird.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go. Please.
I cannot with this part.
Oh no.
I'm like, get to the fucking point. Like,
yes.
Get it out.
Get to it. I was like,
get to the point.
Mm-hmm. What? Like, fucking spit it out.
Mm-hmm. And again, just like not really necessary. And
yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. With the mosquitoes like too. And like, I don't know.
That doesn't,
you know,
like, what are we doing?
It's just weird.
What are we doing? Are you guys ready for the next scene?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. That night, a storm hits the house, and the tree breaks through Robbie's window and grabs him. The family panics to get him down from the tree, all while while Carol Ann is sucked into her closet. They go back inside to find Carol Ann, but she's missing. Robbie and Diane hear her voice coming through the TV.
I love this part with the tree. Not so much where it grabs him, like the tree limb hand things. I get kind of lost there. It's a little it's a little cheesy. But when it starts to eat him, I do love that.
Imagine good being eaten by a tree. What the fuck? Like, this poor kid.
He's going to need so much therapy. Like, he's going to need some after
this. Okay, well, the braces, though. In the next
one. Therapy and some braces.
No. When he gets the braces and the braces...
Second
one. Things be grabbing him that shouldn't be grabbing him. But you guys,
through it,
when they are all fucking running outside, did you see Diane?
I don't
think she's like
arms
fucking
is very
everywhere.
Freely.
I don't think I noticed. She's running. There's so much happening.
She is very theatrical here.
Like, why does it rain so much where they're at?
It does rain.
Why is there a tornado?
Rainy season.
They're in California. Yes.
Yeah. I guess the ghosts are drawing in the storm.
I guess there was less of a drought this time.
With a tornado?
With a tornado.
I think the tornado was the ghost.
Right. I think that was like, it was paranormal.
It was giving Wizard of Oz?
A little bit. Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
A tornado definitely didn't need to be there. That's like
No. The weather shit is where I lose it too, because I'm like, the ghosts are in the house. The ghosts are in the ground. So
but they're so powerful that they're like drawing in
everything around it. Or, yeah.
I don't know.
And they're possessing, I don't know, the tree and everything outside. Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. I'm her more little... spooked by like the inside stuff.
Yeah. For sure.
Her little feet when she's like getting sucked out of her bed, basically, in her little onesie. Mm-hmm. They're so small and so cute.
They're so small.
Oh, she's like... Tiny.
So sad.
It's really I also sad. Heard that this the shooting of this scene really upset her. And that Steven Spielberg had to, like, comfort her afterwards and was like, we won't do it again. Like, we won't shoot it again.
Oh,
yeah.
He though, or does he
That's what
that?
It said. I don't know. Mm.
Well,
did someone else comfort him? or and he took the credit.
I don't know. Yeah. I had a note. I said, it's a diversion.
A diversion. Yeah. Bioluminescent algae. It's a diversion.
Quoted that one.
It's been a minute.
But it was. It's a diversion.
Every day, though. In real life.
Yeah.
A diversion?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Diversion.
Mm-hmm. I want to know real quick. I'm sorry if I sound like an idiot here. Who did Jurassic Park?
Steven Spielberg.
Great. So I thought I could have Googled that. It's making the tree is making T-Rex sounds that I feel like later.
Oh my Jurassic gosh. Park. That's funny.
That came out in like 10 years later, like 94. Yeah,
I can definitely hear that. That's hilarious.
How funny.
I just feel like he reused that sound. He's probably like, the tree. That's good.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. That's good, T-Rex. I just froze. I was like, I don't know.
I felt like a trick question.
Yeah. Oh my God. When they're like running around the house and stuff and they already have Robbie, is this the one we're in?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. They just like run by him.
He's fine. I know. Like, he was
breathing.
Yeah.
This is where you have two parents, like divide and conquer. One of you help clean up Robbie. The other one go look for Carol Ann. Like, you also have Dana. So, you know.
Right. No, Robbie's fine now. We don't, he's out of the tree.
Poor kid.
He's actually gay and he's fine.
He's fine.
That water is so nasty.
Oh, so icky.
So icky.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. So muddy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this part, when they're looking for her, and they haven't found her, and she's just sitting in her room, and she goes, the swimming pool, and she freaks out, like, gives me chills every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great delivery.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The acting is really good in this movie.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only one I have a problem with is Robbie. And it's really just his voice. It's not his fault.
His voice is annoying. Yeah, because, it's really just his voice. I don't really know if it's him, necessarily. Like, he's not... As far as child actors go, he's not the worst.
Yeah. He's not a bad actor. He's just annoying.
Right.
It's just his voice. But yeah, other than that, like, the acting is great.
Honestly, Dana is probably the worst one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I just feel really bad saying that.
I know. I don't want to speak poorly of the deceased. She did her best. She was a kid.
Mm-hmm. This poor kid. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say that this is just the part where Robbie is talking to Diane and the screen is in the background and his teeth.
This is where I said, I bet he eats some wicked corn on the cob.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he'd win a corn on the cob contest.
No.
Oh, poor kid.
That little guy. He's just all covered in sap, though, and looks so sad.
I said
sad.
Barbecue sauce.
He's just like, it's very
barbecue sauce.
Yeah,
barbecue sauce on titties.
And then he hears his sister's voice coming through a TV. He was just eating by a tree. He's covered in barbecue sauce. He hears his sister's voice coming through a TV. What?
This is like, a lot in 5 minutes.
It is a lot. And then, Diane's face when she realizes that Carol Ann's voice is coming from the TV.
And she, touches the TV. And her hand's, shaking as she does it. It's so good. Like, she doesn't even say anything.
Mm-mm.
Her facial expressions and all of it are so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what the fuck? What would you do?
I would do what they did.
I mean,
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing is they made smart choices. Like, they knew they didn't want to tell anybody. Uh-huh, they didn't want to get any out there. I mean, we can get there if you're not there, I suppose, but
they did do all the right things.
They did all the right things.
As best as you could, I guess. Could. Yeah.
Yeah. When your kid's been sucked into the TV.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready for the next one? It's kind of long.
Yeah. Yeah. No worries.
Some time has passed. Steve finds a group of paranormal researchers to investigate their house. First day there, they discuss that the disturbance is a poltergeist and that the spirits have latched on to Carol Ann. They gather around the TV to get a hold of her. When they do, they hear someone else is there with her and panic. The portal opens in the ceiling and old artifacts fall from it. One of the researchers had a bite taken out of him. Everyone settles to sleep, and Diane and Dr. Lesh have a heart-to-heart about the whole situation. The two researchers are still up and one goes to grab a snack. He puts a steak on the counter and it starts to move and burst apart. He goes to wash his mouth out and looking into the mirror, he starts to tear at his face, but he was only hallucinating. On the main stairs, a door at the top opens and mist comes down with beams of light. Everyone wakes up and watches as the lights come down. They roll back the footage and see that the balls of light are spirits.
It's scenes like this where I really love Craig T. Nelson and just his acting and just everything. Mm-hmm. Like, he... And again, a lot of it has to do with the makeup that they put on him, too. But he just looks absolutely exhausted and defeated. You know, his whole demeanor, the way he speaks, just very, like, monotone and, like, numb.
Yeah.
I guess. He's so good. I love him.
Yeah. He does a great job. Yeah, he looks like shit.
Yeah, absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first note about how the stair placement in this house is just outrageous.
Outrageous. Yes.
Yeah.
I like it for the scene, like, you know, when they are like recording the stairs, like, because it's so just like perfect shot. It wouldn't work if that was just like a staircase, like up against a wall, but still they make no sense.
Makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like, I don't, the inside doesn't match the outside. Like, I just don't think it's the same house.
Probably not. I don't know.
Some of it might have been shot in that house for sure, but those stairs aren't in that house.
No.
No.
The room.
Oh, the room.
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't go in there anymore.
We don't go
in there. I fucking wouldn't go in there.
No. No. That room would be locked and off limits.
Again, good decision making.
Yeah.
I love when they're walking up to the room. And one of the researchers is telling the story about the fucking little toy car moving.
Completing like, the distance.
Or something.
In like 8 hours.
Yeah. And Steve's face is just like,
okay. He's just like, okay, just wait.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yep.
I feel like this is where Insidious and other movies got their inspiration.
I literally.
For like paranormal researchers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I literally, because I knew that the steak, you know, there was a reference. I mean, that whole kitchen.
Right.
But I wrote Insidious is a literal poltergeist ripoff, and I'm not sure if I ever noticed how much.
Yeah, that's what Joey had said when we watched Insidious for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit. Like,
Yeah, it totally is.
I just haven't seen this movie in so long that I just didn't
register.
But my next note is, what drugs were these people on when they created this story?
Yeah.
When you, like, really just, like,
think about it,
a girl gets sucked into the TV and then, like, it's just like, the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
This is dumb as shit.
Kind of cool, though.
No, it is, but I'm just, like, when you just, like, really
fast. You break it down.
Yeah.
No, they were doing some drugs.
They were doing some drugs, for sure.
Yeah.
No, I think it's cool. And I mean, same with the other movie that he was going to write, where they're, like, talking to the fucking cows and shit.
Talking to the cows and shit,
But when Carol Ann is in the TV and she's talking, it's so sad.
Oh, I know.
So sad.
I can't find you, Mommy. Where are you?
See you.
Oh, my God.
And then you hear her little footsteps running. And then the pounding.
That part. Oof.
I can't find you, Mommy. No.
That gives me goosies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when she, like, goes through Diane.
Oh, God.
And Diane's like, she's all over me. I can smell her. And she's crying. Oh, my God.
Terrible.
Yeah. She's crying.
She's so good. She's so good. Her and Steve both, their acting is just, it's so good.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
One time. I do have a slight plot hole that you guys might hate me for.
Oh God, let's hear it.
Great.
It's not so much a plot hole as they just a little bit. Okay. So before that night when they're all sitting at the table with the researchers and they're talking about their initial thoughts about what they think is going on. Mm. And they're explaining that they think it's a poltergeist as a normal haunting.
Yeah.
Is connected to an area, whereas a poltergeist is connected to a person. Uh-huh. In the second one, that makes sense because it is like connected. Carol Ann. However, at the end of the movie, they figure out that the reason all this shit is happening is because of all the dead bodies underneath where the houses are built. So it really is the location. It's a haunting. It's not a poltergeist. Like initially. And I think the spirits that are latched to that property and that house do latch on to Carol Ann. But in the second one, it really is a poltergeist. But this first one is not.
Right.
It's deep.
Mm. Like it was a haunting that like evolved into a poltergeist.
Right.
I was kind of thinking about that when Grace gave the definition of a poltergeist.
Because I don't know why I didn't think of that when I gave the definition of poltergeist.
Right, because it's just like things moving around. It's not like theft of a child and trees and storms and tornadoes.
Right. So initially, it leaning in as a haunting.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Good point. Wow.
Yeah. Well, good thing they didn't take the name The Haunting, because then we wouldn't have gotten that Liam Neeson
great
movie. Zeta Jones and
Owen Wilson. Good.
What do you mean? It's so good. That was going to be my next pick, guys. Come on.
Oh, that movie actually did scare the shit out of me as a kid.
Yeah, same. As a kid. And now it just makes me uncomfy.
Now I'm just like, oh, this is so bad.
It just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much like a plot hole, but just incorrect.
Incorrect.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
When they are all like settling down and the researchers and Dr. Lesher like whispering at the stairs, one of them says, somewhere in this house is a way in. As if it's like a theory, and it's like, well, no fucking shit. How do you think Carol Ann got there?
Right.
Duh.
I need to talk about the whispering, but real fast. There's a part I just have. Dana falls down from the wind and falls flat on her face.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, just it's when, like, Carol Ann is, like, running through Diane. And, yeah, she just, like, bloop. And she
I don't think I noticed.
She's unwell, too. She is, like, shaking and sobbing. And I'm, like,
no one is comforting her.
Listen.
Right.
Which that would be hard to see, but it's also, like, I love that. No one else is quite to that level.
Like, the mother of this child isn't freaking out to this extent. Like, chill the fuck out.
The whispering. Jesus fucking Christ.
You don't love a whisper.
I hate whispering. I hate ASMR. I hate it. I can feel it.
I love it.
I love ASMR.
Everybody was awake. Talk normal. Everybody's fucking whispering because they're all awake. You don't need to whisper then if everybody's awake.
Normally, whispering does actually drive me crazy, but I do like their whispering here, and I feel like it just kind of cultivates an atmosphere for the scene that I like. I don't know. But I understand why you don't like it.
Oh my god. It just lasted like 85 minutes of the movie as well.
Well, yeah, if it's not something you enjoy, I feel like I can understand why it just felt like the longest scene ever.
Feel it in my spine. And people, like, I'm
so
like,
so then you're getting experience the tingles from ASMR. You just don't like it.
I fucking hate, like, it.
Oh, I love
it. I have mesophonia and it inflicts rage in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that this was not fun for you to listen to.
It's okay.
It just took forever.
So the whispering part. She does say, I think it's Diane that says, if I got killed, I could visit her.
Oh.
No, that's Robbie. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Which is even worse.
Yeah, it's just really sad. Very and then sad. I think the fucking ghost hunter lady or something that just says some people just get lost in the way of the light. And then my next note is, I'm going to be real honest, I zoned out hardcore during all of this.
It's a defense mechanism.
Yep.
Like, why are they whispering if everybody is awake?
I do love their little heart-to-heart, and Dr. Lesh, like, shares her booze with Diane. Mm-hmm. Like, edge off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like this scene. But, again, if you don't like whispering, it would make the whole thing unbearable, so.
Also, Robbie comes up with the entire plan on how to get Carol Ann back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he does.
Which I like around me.
The whole thing. That was the first time I ever really noticed that. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Way to go, Robbie.
Way to go, Robbie. I like when it's time for him to go to bed. She's like, okay, it's time to go to sleep. He's like, okay. Good night, lady.
Good night, lady.
Good night, lady. I said, just fuck Dana, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, Dana's
right. She fell flat in her face, like, and clearly is going through it. It's
you're she's fine. Clearly going through it.
She's the spare.
You're fine.
My next note is in caps, bold, underlined. Oh my fucking god! The chewing of the Cheetos. Like, this movie is it's not friendly.
That's so funny.
And then again, I for real can't with this damn staircase.
The steak scene?
Mm. Again, the sound of the steak moving. Oh, I can't with the sounds.
So many sounds.
There's so many sounds.
Would you like to know how they did it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, they did use a real steak for it. And they laid it over a slot, like, so you know the, like, lines in the tile?
Mm-hmm.
They cut open one of those lines, and then they stuck a wire to the bottom of the steak, and then pulled it just through, like, the tile.
Oh!
Uh-huh.
That's genius.
Yep. And supposedly they did the same thing when I meant to say this earlier. When Diane is showing the chair thing to Steve.
Oh, okay.
Steven. They fastened a wire to the chair's legs under the set and pulled it.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
During the face peely scene.
Oh, God.
Those are Steven Spielberg's hands.
Oh.
Well, they're somebody's hands.
Yeah.
I fucking love that scene so much.
Yeah.
I fucking love that scene. I love that, like, the second it all starts, it's just a dummy.
Yes.
Like, they don't even begin a little bit with his face.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a dummy.
I couldn't tell where you were going with that. I was like, oh, you love it. Okay.
It's like, all right. I do like it, even though it's terrible.
No, I do too. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
With the maggots, though, he's making, like, sexual sound.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, that was odd.
Off-putting.
Oh, I don't like that.
Also, why is this man just helping himself to fucking steaks in their fridge, and he's gonna make one in the middle of the night? And then he puts the raw ass steak on the countertop.
On the counter?
Yeah.
True.
What?
Like, sir, what are you doing? Food
safety before?
Yeah. Also rude.
Yeah. Like, just help
yourself. Also, isn't there countertop table? Countertop tile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't clean the grout.
Disgusting.
No.
You can't clean meat out of grout.
It would just be contaminated forever.
Gross. You know, I don't know that I ever thought I would say that. You can clean meat out of grout. That's a funny thing to say.
Oh.
That's funny.
Yeah, the audacity of this guy.
Honestly, though.
Yeah, I thought I was going to find so much on the special effects, like with the whole face melty scene. The only thing I found was that those are Steven Spielberg's hands. That's it. I do love the spirit orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And when they roll it back, that they can, like, see people.
Yeah.
Joey did point out, though, because, like, all of them are wearing hats.
All of them.
Oh.
And he's like, why'd they lose all their jewelry and not their hats? Because, like, their jewelry and shit just, like, falls out of, like, a portal from the ceiling.
Right.
And it made me laugh. Because they every single one of them has a hat on.
Touché, are they just, Joey, like, mannequins as well?
Or, like, was it just the same person that they filmed and then they, like...
They look like mannequins to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
So, the camera guy, like, dude, you have one job.
One job.
Sir.
To stay awake.
Sir.
Pay attention.
I meant to note his drawing right before that. I do love his drawing.
Yeah.
It's like the staircase, and then it's like Diane's face and, like, her hair flying. Yeah. It's so cool. Zach has always wanted that tattooed. since I've known him. Like, he loves Poltergeist. It's one of his favorite movies.
Oh, cute.
Of all time.
Lucky for him, he knows someone that tattoos.
He does know someone. And I think you could do a pretty sweet rendition.
I think I could.
Yeah, he's always wanted that tattooed. And like, yeah, cool, sweet drawing, bro. But like, you know.
Pay attention.
Maybe pay attention to what you're doing.
The auras, I said it is looks like Cinderella, and then the score is almost very whimsical.
Yes, there are lots of whimsical parts of the score.
The score sometimes
full of whimsy.
Yeah, there are some good parts, but yeah, then there's other times where I'm like, what are you going for? This isn't scaring me. This is like
kind of like it here though, because it is kind of like a beautiful scene.
Yes,
not supposed to
true.
Be like
that is true.
Terrifying.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
In the subtitles it says whooshing.
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 It whooshed.
Whooshing.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's my last note too.
Yeah.
A whooshing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Steve's boss comes to check on them and is worried he is going to lose him as an employee. They go on a walk to look at more Cuesta Verde land, and his boss offers him a new home in the area they are planning to develop. Steve points out there's a graveyard, and his boss tells him it's no problem. All of Cuesta Verde was a gravesite. They just moved the graves. Dr. Lesh comes back with a psychic, Tangina, who explains to the family where Carol Ann is on the spectral plane and that an evil entity took her and is keeping her there, but she has a plan to get her back. They do a series of tests with tennis balls to make sure the portal in the closet is connected to the portal in the living room, and it works. Tangina tells Steve to throw a rope into the light and it comes through the other end of the portal. They tie it around Diane and send her in to get Carol Ann. Steve panics and tries to pull Diane back, and a demon face comes through the portal and he lets go of the rope. Luckily, Diane and Carol Ann fall through the other portal and Steve carries them into the bath and they wake up.
Yeah, this is where Dr. Lesh is like, Marty won't be coming back. Like, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't either. But I do love how she's like reassuring Diane, and it's like, I will be back, and I'm gonna bring help. Like, I don't know, they're cute. They're very sweet. Their little friendship.
I love them.
And, yeah.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Dr. Lesh.
The way that she said, I like her too a lot. The way that she says, "I am coming back," is like a soap opera. I said,
yes, a little bit. It's giving soap opera. Mm-hmm.
This is when they send Robbie away, right?
Yeah, to go to
the put that little boy in a taxi, all on his lonesome.
I was like, one of you guys couldn't have driven him?
Right?
What?
Like, I know the mom's not going to leave, but...
Right. And I get that it was the 80s, it was a different time, but still, like, what? You're just sitting here fucking kid in a cab?
Than there are now.
Well, no shit, right? Like,
Yeah. Not cool.
Yeah,
not cool.
I was saying this part after this is like it's giving Haunted Mansion is what I said.
Oh, yeah.
Which part?
Got a graveyard in the, what does he say? Got a cemetery in the backyard. That's what he says.
He's like, you want to go for a ride? I'd like to show you something.
I'd like to show you something. I wrote the same thing.
Yeah.
I hate the boss.
I hate him. He's just like hiking in a suit. I think the part that's giving Haunted Mansion is just like, I think it's like they must zoom out of the house or something, because they do it a couple times. It feels like Haunted Mansion to me.
Oh,
and everything's just weird and creepy. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think it's just the vibes. Who knows?
Was it the part where like they're like, we don't go in this room anymore, and all of like the things are flying around? Because that's what it makes me think of.
Yes. I bet
the trumpet
that's it.
And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I bet that's it.
Poor Steven, just looking like shit. And
absolute hell.
It's so sad because they're, you know, walking around. He's like, it's such a beautiful day. How could anyone have a problem in the world with on a day like this? Like,
I know.
Poor guy.
Poor guy. He's going through it.
His boss is just like in a suit, sweating to death.
In a suit.
Talking about how, you know, they're just going to relocate these fucking graves. As
it's
you
just
do,
terrible.
It's just people. People, it's 5 minutes down the road. You know, that's no hardship.
And he tells Steven, he's like, no one's complained till now. No one fucking knows, no one fucker.
Right?
No,
Oh, also, I hate him. I like how it's like, we've done it before, and then I go, dun, dun, dun.
I didn't even put that together.
Oh.
It was a
surprise. Oh my gosh.
Didn't remember that at all. It had been so long.
Which is great. I do love that that is, like, the reason, you know?
Like Kayla said, that's not a poltergeist.
It is. It does fuck up the title.
I know. It really.
It's a cool premise.
So back to this horrible boss, this horrible man.
Mm-hmm. I love the CGI cemetery, though. Lovely.
Yeah. A lot of the CGI. I mean, it was 1982. But it was
82.
Yeah, a little rough. I did. Joey pointed out, though, that one of the tombstones right there has my birthday.
Oh. On it.
Uh-huh. So that's weird.
Weird.
And then the one next to it has the name Joseph.
What the fuck?
That's super weird.
Is that weird?
What the fuck? When the mom goes into the room, she knocks on the door. That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got such a big scare with the screaming in the room.
Yeah.
It scared me so bad.
Mm-hmm. Poor lady.
I am to the point where Tangina arrives.
Tangina.
Yes. Tangina. My first note was, she's so tiny, but I thought I was talking about Carol Ann. But no, I'm talking about Tangina. She is so small.
She's small.
I just love your jam and my frequencies.
Your jam and my frequencies.
That needs to be a shirt that I
Yes.
I fucking love that so much. I do hate that the guy's like, what side of the rainbow are we working on?
He's a little dickish right here.
Then him being like, I was trying to answer her with my mind. I thought she was psychic. And it's like, bro, your daughter is trapped in some spectral realm, but you don't believe in psychics?
Right.
What?
True.
Yeah.
I said that that's some shit that Zach would do. He would do exactly this.
Yeah,
it's very man. Yes,
it is. Oh my god, man. It's giving man.
It's giving man. Ew, we hate that. We hate when it's giving man.
So funny, but it's true.
It also, is. Tangina hauls ass up those damn stairs.
Oh my god, I said this. The most. She fucking
ran. She said, "Okay, shit."
Cute.
I love how Tangina explains everything that is going on. Her little voice.
I definitely zoned out here, too.
Oh, I love it.
I love it. A transition to a different sphere of consciousness. I like that that's how she explains death. That it's not that we die. It's just a transition to a different
sphere of
consciousness.
Yeah.
And I like when she says, to her, it simply is another child. To us, it is the beast.
Dude, I like how you said that. You said that really good, like her.
You did say that really good.
Did. Mm-hmm.
This is actually the part where I made a note about them ripping off Poltergeist with Insidious, because I mean, literally, completely.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
Calling out to her.
Mm-hmm.
Going.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
What if in our Insidious notes we said that they got inspiration from Poltergeist, and we're totally forgetting everything that we've said?
Feel like we probably have.
I feel like that probably actually 100% happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just forget. We've talked about so many things.
So much time passes. Like, yeah. Right.
I don't even know.
I feel like we've probably done that with a lot of shit.
Yes. 100%.
Like, oh, people are like totally fucking ripping this movie off.
But Tangina tells Steve to say that if she doesn't answer him, he's gonna spank her. And he's like, oh, come on, I've never spanked the children. This is a dad in the 80s that has never spanked a child. I'm calling bullshit right there.
I believe him.
Really?
It is interesting, though, for the time period. It's like,
for the time period,
I feel like that was the norm.
I believed him. He just doesn't seem. He doesn't give those vibes.
No, it's
to me.
It's totally believable for sure. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I just for his character, for the time period. I was like, what? Right. No.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Right. It was really progressive at the time.
Because
I feel like everybody spanked.
Before the whole speech and everything, I said, where's Dana?
Oh, she's at her friend's.
She's at her friend's house. Yeah. She, like, can't stay there. Because
Can't handle it.
I just, like, I don't want to speak ill of her. But what is the purpose of her character?
There isn't one, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
When she says, to us, it is the beast. I love the score here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The score is great.
Oh, yeah. So see, good. There are definitely times where it's perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, now let's go get your daughter.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. When they are doing the tennis ball,
mm-hmm.
okay, and they're testing,
mm-hmm.
and she throws the first tennis ball in, and it comes through the other side, and the guy catches it. Why he smell it?
Why does he smell it? Why?
It's so ooey-gooey, and he smelt it.
Yeah.
It had to just be, like, a morbid curiosity, you know? Like,
yeah,
I feel like that's such a
dude
that.
Thing.
Right, yeah. They smell shit. Why are you smelling that? That thing that probably smells bad.
They do be smelling shit.
They do be.
It's covered in goo and you need to smell it? Why? What information is that?
It just came from an alternate universe or like a different plane of existence and you're sniffing it?
Yes. Ew.
Weird thing. All in the whooshing again.
The whooshing.
The whooshing.
The whooshing.
Oh. The red, the pinkish goo. Pulp.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And then she's 100%. Like, hooray, with the rope!
Hooray!
Hooray!
I don't think the, go into the light, don't go into the, go into the light, don't. She's 5.
Yeah, right. You're confusing the fuck out of her here, people.
Right.
One thing. Yeah. One thing.
One thing at a time here.
And then, Tashmina is like, I'm gonna go in after her. And Diane is like, no, she doesn't know you, let me go. And she's like, you've never done it before.
Neither have you.
Neither have you.
You go. So funny.
I love that part.
It's a good little lighthearted moment for a very heavy situation. Yeah.
I just love when she's about to go in and her and Steven have their moment.
Oh,
it's so sweet. And like the swell of the music. And it's, oh my God. It's so perfect.
It's so good.
It's so good. Like, I love it. Stop kissing, though. Fucking go.
I get it, but I don't know. But like, you know, they don't know if she's gonna come out.
Come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
it's just, I don't know. It's the way it's shot.
All the emotions.
You know, I'm gooey inside, but I didn't feel that way. I was like, all right, that was cute. Move on. Let's go.
Really? Oh, I love that part.
I love that part.
Yeah, I'm
right. And then she says, "Don't let go." He says, "Never." Oh.
I did like
that. It's so good.
So then good. He does let go.
And then he does let go.
He lets go. I don't like job. The score here. I said it's giving Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's funny.
How do you guys feel about the demon face that comes through the closet?
I think it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's
not great.
Not great. I mean, no sense.
No.
It doesn't really make no sense.
But I like it.
I feel like all of these 80s horror movies have those elements to make them scary that don't make any sense. It's just simply to have a scary image.
It's just spooky.
Mm-hmm. They all have them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Good point. Okay.
And so I don't hate it. It just makes it silly and cheesy. But it doesn't ruin the movie for me at all. Like, oh, okay, that was dumb.
No.
Yeah, totally.
This house is clean.
This house is clean. Hold on, before that. When they're, like, holding each other, you know, in the bath or whatever, the actress, the you know, the little girl, plays Carol Ann. You can tell she's just, like,
waiting for her cue.
Like, she's just like looking at, because they're like hugging and like so excited. Like, she's just like
one eye open.
Okay. That part does like make me cry though.
It is really sad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, but
it's so beautiful.
It's just
Yeah.
And he's just wiping their little faces in their mouth. He's like, come on, baby. He just wants
to breathe. Just breathe.
Yeah, press.
Well, and when he races, there's, don't touch him. And he like freaks the fuck out. And he's like, nobody touch my fucking wife and kid. Like,
Good dad. Good dad.
Oh, it's so good. He's so good. I love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, hi, daddy.
And then fucking the lady is like all proud in the doorway.
Yep. She's all
teary. And then they close the door to give them a moment.
Yeah.
So very sweet. Considerate. Like, that's so sweet.
It's so great. I love it. The writing, just all of it is so perfect.
Mm-hmm. So good.
I do like, this house is clean.
Reminds me of Ace Ventura.
Yeah. Every time.
This house is clean.
How funny. Yep. I never really thought about that. That's what this is from.
Do we have any other thoughts before the last one?
No, that's my last one.
Nope.
Okay. All right, so cut to the family packs up a moving truck. They're leaving that night. Steve just has to finish things at work. Diane puts the kids to bed while she tries to relax in the bath. Robbie is woken up by his toy clown missing. He checks under the bed, but it attacks him and drags him under. Diane is then attacked in her room, getting flown around the walls, and the spirits try again to take Carol Ann, keeping Diane from getting into the room. She goes outside to scream for help and falls into the pool dugout. Is that the right way to say that?
Sure, the pool hole. Okay. I don't know.
Falls into the pool hole, where skeletons rise from the ground. She struggles to get out, but her neighbors show up and help her. She gets back to the kids' room and helps drag Robbie and Carol Ann out. Steve gets back to the chaos. They all run out of the house as more graves burst through the ground. They get in the car and drive off in the nick of time as the entire house crumbles into itself and vanishes. They get to a motel and kick the TV out of it.
I like how she calls her little new gray hair punk.
Yeah, right.
Isn't it kind of like a kind of punk?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I just love how like they're moving tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yep.
In like a fully unpacked house. Like there's fucking artwork on the walls.
Her there's bathroom shit everywhere.
Is completely stocked. Like what is happening?
I said moving tomorrow. They didn't pack the clown, so
they didn't pack the clown.
I don't like when they're leaving. He's like, I gotta go to work. Dude, you haven't been to work in like 6 fucking weeks.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? And then she's like, I gotta go to work. And he's gone for like the whole day. And then they just mouth, I love you.
Yeah, why did they mouth it?
Why did they mouth it?
I don't know.
You're married.
Kind of odd. Yeah. Kind of weird they don't say it out loud. I don't know.
It's just weird. I don't know.
Maybe it's just a thing they do.
That's never been done before.
Right.
Well, and I don't know. Like, they're good parents, right? And I think she's a great mom.
Seems like it, yeah.
But then after all this shit happens, she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to take a bath. I'm sorry. What? These children would never leave my sight after that.
Everyone is staying in the living room together. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. And yeah, she's like, you guys can tuck yourself in, right? Bye. I got to go take a bath.
Right. Yeah, I'm just going to take a bath. What?
It just seems very out of character.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird way to handle.
And I thought they were leaving that night. Like
that night.
Right.
And he said, I don't know. I don't know.
I think he said meet them at the motel.
Right. Yeah.
It don't make sense.
And what is he doing at work for so long suddenly?
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem like he cares that much about work at all anyway.
Yeah.
Or his boss.
Well, he's quitting, so.
Right.
You have that much stuff you need to get?
Yeah.
God. I don't like this part.
No.
Yeah. And I don't like the red light over her bathtub.
What is that about?
Is it supposed to be like a sauna type situation?
Like a heated thing? Which, like, that is a thing, but are they usually that red?
Red.
Ooh, ribs.
Yep.
And she's in the bath. That fucking clown. I jumped clown. So hard.
It's so good.
This whole part of the movie is so tainted for me because all I can think of is Scary Movie 2.
Oh my gosh.
The clown and with her getting like thrown around the walls. That's all I can think about. And so it doesn't even scare me at all anymore.
That's funny.
That's hilarious.
It's just the jump that gets me.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I do love the slime and shit that's coming out of her closet. I love all that.
Yeah.
And then the like weird fleshy tunnel that opens in her closet. It's
quite
it's
like vaginal. Well,
yes, giving birth. Yes, yeah. Very much. But it's just cool. I just like the effects. And again, like, does it make sense? Yeah. No, not really.
No.
But
it's cool.
Mm-hmm. And this is where I made note. They really didn't pack a lot for that move, huh?
Not at all.
Right.
No. Mm-mm. Granted, it's been like a day, but still.
They're moving right tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. You guys want to know a fun fact?
Mm-hmm.
So that spooky spirit Halloween thing that comes out of the door, the white ghost monster.
Oh, yes.
Wait, do you have this fact, Lorelai, about this?
No.
Okay, perfect. You guys, you might recognize the sound that that beast makes, as it is the source for the current MGM lion roar.
I thought it sounded like the MGM lion, and I thought maybe I was just tripping. So
that's hilarious.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wait, so like, it was in this and then became the MGM lion? Lion? Yeah. Why did I say lion?
Lion.
Weird.
Apparently. Weird. It does sound just like it.
It does, yeah. That's funny.
The pool. The pool.
Wait, before the pool, she's like, don't touch my babies or whatever. And then I was like, why is the dad gone for so long?
Yeah. Where is Steven?
So long. And then poor Carol Ann is like, no more.
No more.
Not again.
Poor baby.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Poor baby.
But anyway, the pool is the icky. Pool.
So icky. And the water in her mouth. Mm-hmm. And
it's like The Descent.
Right.
Yeah, it is like The Descent.
Which is weird because that was my trivia question.
Yeah.
Weird.
Circle. So interesting. I fucking hate these neighbors.
I was like, Ben, help her.
Really? Absolute worst.
Your wife be like, no, don't go in there. Like, fuck you, dude. Like, this woman is, there's corpses coming up from the ground. You're not going to help her when you're already there helping her. You're just going to stop. You're just going to go back home and pretend like it didn't happen. The fuck?
Also, what is Caroline's fucking bed nailed to the floor now? Because that shit ripped up so quick before.
No.
Right?
Like, what?
Yeah.
I do love her struggle to get out of the pool initially and how she, like, falls back in. And then once she's inside, the hallway lengthens and it's just like, cannot get to the kids. The tension and the anxiety that you feel through this is palpable. It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. I love it. Uh-huh.
It's like a nightmare.
Yeah. A
complete nightmare.
Uh-huh.
The skeleton by the front door. Ha ha.
When it pops out and it just like.
And it's all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah. Pretty funny.
Sorry. Plot hole situation that I didn't think of until just now for my note. The guy, his boss, is the one that like fucking moved the cemetery. Why didn't they attack him at all?
Right. Well, I guess because he doesn't live there.
I don't think they're necessarily
like mad. I think maybe it just like disturbed the energy or something, and now they're like looking to latch onto the living or
whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should attack him.
I do love. When they finally show up, which again, if he quit his job, why is his boss there?
Why
with
is
him?
His boss?
I don't really understand that part.
Make it make
but
sense.
I love him seeing everything that's happening and then Steven losing his shit on him.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Pretty good.
Nobody plays unhinged quite like Craig T. Nelson does. Like, I don't know. He's scary.
Yeah. He does a great job here.
Yep.
He's but scary he until he does body. Like a little, booty dance looking for his car keys.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why do you have so many damn keys?
He's like searching in his pockets.
I feel like men always have the most keys. They always have like 50 keys on them, and I'm like, what do all these keys go to?
Fucking janitor?
They do have a lot of keys.
Are you fucking all of them.
I also wondered why only their house? Is the cemetery that small? It's just their house?
That's a good point.
I think it's just, it had a lot to do with Carol Ann, right? Because they talk about how their energies and their spirits were attached to hers and latched on her, and because they think that that is their salvation and pass on, and it's pure life, and that's what they want. And so I don't necessarily think it had anything to do with the house itself. I think it was the house, right? I don't know why. It was just a central helm for that energy, even though it is the whole land, right, where everything was built. But then because of Carol Ann's energy, it just became like the hot spot.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a theory.
That makes sense.
It does.
And he said, too, he mentions when they're doing their walk earlier, Stephen and the boss, that Carol Ann was born in the house.
Yeah.
So maybe that has something to do with it as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine seeing this on your block.
No.
Yeah. Dude. Oh, my God. Like, the house just evaporates? It just
How did they do falls. That?
It just disappears.
How did they do that? CG?
Don't know. Yeah. Couldn't tell you. Yeah.
It's quite good.
We should like make note of how many houses just disappear at the end of horror movies.
This is number two, Carrie.
Catch on fire, evaporate into the earth, something. They just know there's so many that they don't know how to end it, and so they're like, "Ah, the house is gone."
Right. I don't think there was a full moon in this one. We didn't really talk about
there
the full moon.
There was not.
There was not. No. Did not make it.
We've had a few lately that they're. This poor family. They just look
that's literally my next note. This poor family.
Yeah. Seriously.
So like, exhausted.
Fucking Dana. God damn it. God. Get in the fucking car.
Oh Jesus. My God, Dana.
The hickeys on her neck.
The hickeys.
What are you doing, Dana? Your sister was missing.
Yeah.
You don't even care.
And the car is there.
No one cares about her either.
They're trying to leave, and she's still just standing there, screaming. Like, and it's like, get in the fucking car, dude. Mm-hmm. You're just screaming for like 10 minutes.
Right.
I do love how they end it, though. Like, walking into the motel room. They're
so tired.
Open it up. It pushes the fucking TV out, and then slams the door.
Yep.
I do love that.
It's the perfect ending. Yeah.
Great ending.
It is.
I don't like the score again, though.
Oh, I love the score.
I love the score.
Like, four?
It's just like, it. I like it. It just doesn't go. I said it's whimsical.
Well, it's whimsical. Like a, it's like a, what the fuck are those called? Like a child's song? Like a nursery?
Like rhyme? A lullaby?
Like a lullaby, thank you. It's like a lullaby.
Mm.
I love it. It's so nostalgic for me.
It's interesting that you say that.
Is it interesting?
It is interesting. The general theme for the movie, the one that's most well known, plays is called Carol Ann's theme, and they wanted it to sound like a lullaby.
Oh, so,
there you go.
Okay, Lorelai.
Okay, I like that.
There you go.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, because it's like her theme.
I love it.
Baby.
This is random, but in the credits, someone's title for the movie is Boom Person.
Boom Person?
Like
boom
for the boom mics?
Yeah, but I just feel like... Boom Person.
Boom Person.
Because now I feel like it's like Boom Operator.
Right. Yeah.
Boom Person.
Boom Person.
You guys, I don't know about you, but I'm fucking obsessed with reading Letterboxd reviews right now. People are very so fun. Goddamn funny. Someone says, no sympathy for this family, buy the ghost insurance next time. And this one says, overlong infomercial on the dangers of watching too much television.
Oh my God.
That's good.
So funny.
Yeah, I love Letterboxd.
Me too.
I need to update mine. It's been a minute since I've added all my movies.
I'm not into the idea of kissing while covered in jam.
Well, covered in jam. It is jam. It does look like jam.
It looks like jam.
I don't know if it is. I'm just saying, like, that is, but it's giving.
Well, yeah.
Do we have any final thoughts?
I like this movie.
I just love it. Yeah. Very nostalgic for me. Scared me as a kid.
Same.
Yep. One of my faves.
Yeah.
We'll have to cover the second one at some point.
Oh my God. Yeah, the second one is so good.
The second one. The second one is with the braces. Fucking
creepy.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm pretty confident.
Mm-hmm. And the worm.
Mm-hmm. The worm.
It's not gory.
No.
It's like a one.
Yeah, if that.
A one for the guy's face.
One for the face peeling, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it, really.
But I like that. I like that it's still scary and not gory.
Me too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've talked about, you know, how this movie scared us as kids, but does it scare you guys anymore?
No.
Yeah.
Cool. Yay. Well, would you like to tell us the next episode, Grace?
What is it?
Oh, yeah.
So I said I was going to have a theme with my thing, but there's just two movies I have to get out of the way, and then I will go to a theme.
Okay.
The movie that I pick is The Birds.
Oh,
nice. Yes.
Birds. Classic. Yeah, it's about time that you picked that movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for Creatures. Yeah. And
Right.
Yeah, no, this is perfect.
Cool.
Yep.
Oh, yay.
I can't wait.
No.
It's been a minute since we've done, like, an old classic, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure the last one was... Is it Psycho?
The Creature Walks Among Us?
Was that before Psycho or after?
It was after Psycho.
It was after. Psycho was for mother issues.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Nice! That'll be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, then The Birds will be our next one. And yeah, as per usual, if you're not already following us on Instagram, give us a follow. And then be sure to wear your SPF, hydrate or dehydrate, put your shoes on, and lock your damn doors.
And don't leave creepy dead trees in your yard.
Do not semi-move. Don't move a cemetery, but then also don't semi-move the cemetery and then build
houses
on top of it for money.
Correct.
Like, if you're going to do it. Move the bodies.
Mm-hmm. But, don't.
But just don't.
Just don't.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't put bra steak on the countertop.
No.
And if you're the meat, we'll get in the grout.
In the grout. And it'll be contaminated forever. And if your children start talking to the TV attic, move out immediately.
Mm-hmm. If you have a TV that has static, get a new one.
A new one. They're not
for an update.
Upgrade for sure.
And they're not too expensive.
Yep.
Yeah,
you're good. Turn the TV off though when you are sleeping, like feel a little bit. Like you don't need to fucking strobe.
Yeah. Induce a seizure.
Oh my God. When designing houses, don't put a staircase in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
This doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Well, bye.